You got something to say about the mobile infantry?
This podcast has adult language, adult humor, some adults, adults attending horror movies, adults playing doctor. Did I mention adults? Watch out for the boogeyman, don't ever fall asleep cause they have such sights to show you, or Jason will get ya. So hide behind the chainsaws and always remember the pentaverate should never be exposed, and this show not intended for children, so keep adulting and put the kids to bed. Don't feed after midnight, don't get them wet, leave the baby monitor on, and don't forget to feed grandma tapioca pudding.
Am I the meanest?
Sure enough.
Am I the prettiest?
Sure enough.
Am I the baddest mofo low down around this town?
Sure enough.
Well, who am I?
Sure enough.
Who am I?
Sure enough.
I can't hear you.
Sure enough.
The Shogun of Harlem.
Meanwhile, behind the facade of this innocent-looking podcast.
Special news bulletin.
Unless $5 million is transferred to the following account, I will capsize 5 oil tankers.
What's going on, everyone? It's your girl, Julene, and you are tuned in to the Tattoo Squid Podcast.
Hey, Squiddies, it's Dre, Tattoo Squid Podcast, with not a podcaster, but an indie wrestler, but doing commentary. We call it on the side because been with an injury and, going to be going back and doing what he does best. But it is Nathaniel Carr. I don't know if you want to go by that or you want to go by your the real, name-wise?
So that leads to a funny story. I didn't hear my real name for maybe 2 years. So my real name is Nicholas. Hi, crowd. Daniel P. Carr, a.k.a. Mr. Aim to Entertain, the Crown Prince of the Geekdom Kingdom, the leader of the Nerdom Nation, and the Elm City Sensation. I have a lot of monikers.
Yeah.
How you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Doing good. But back to the point I was trying to make was because I was working consistently every weekend, sometimes on the weekdays, for almost 2 years straight between the great states of North Carolina to Maine to Ohio, I was getting around, as they like to say, and didn't hear my name. I heard Nerd, I heard Carr, I heard Nate, I heard Nathaniel, but I did not hear Nicholas, or as my friends call me, Nick at Night, for 2 years. I was so busy that, like, I was at a bar with a bunch of wrestlers, and all of a sudden, I hear, "Yo, Nick at Night!" And workers are going, "What the hell?" And they're like, "Oh, that's me. That's right. That's my nickname." They're like, "Your name is Nick?" Like, even my guys I worked with for 5 years, 6 years at that point, did not know my real name was Nicholas. So, the beautifulness of wrestling, right?
Yeah, it's good. Like, especially when you have, like, the real names and, like Shawn Michaels, he has his last name Hickenbottom,
Yeah.
And then they're like, "Really? That's his real last name?" I'm like, "Yeah, well, that's why he calls him Shawn Michaels."
Yeah.
Or even Undertaker, Calloway. I didn't even know what his full name was at first, and I got the tattoo of his insignia. So.
You're the third person I met with that insignia as a tattoo.
Oh, really? Oh, I thought I was the only one. God damn it. So who else?
I know a guy with chest plates, all the WWE chest plates.
Oh, yeah.
For the belts tattooed on his chest.
Oh, that's fucking cool.
From the original to the latest one.
Nice. So. Yeah, he's going to have a whole... Unless he has a huge fucking chest, and yeah, it's going to work.
No, he has a bird chest, but it works for him. It's only the heavyweight titles. So, luckily, he didn't do the Intercontinentals and none of the other ones.
Oh, the tag teams and all that. I don't know if tag teams do the...
They changed. They definitely changed. They were Spartan style. They were the new ones now. Yeah, they changed a few times.
So, have you ever, like, followed... Obviously, you're in the wrestling business as it is. And do you perceive doing indie work, or you want to be doing, like... The big company stuff, you know, like WWE, AEW, you know, Ring of Honor. Now that's pretty much bought out. But anyway,
now that's the NXT of AEW.
Yeah, you know, and then you got your Impact or whatever. But do you prefer indies other than to we call it, you know, big conglomerate, I guess.
So. At first, every kid wants to be the WWE champion, right? Yeah. I think my dream was always, I want to win the WWE heavyweight title and an Oscar for writing the same year. That was my dream. I was like, yeah, that's going to be my ultimate dream. I started doing the indies. I love it. You know what it is? It's so intimate compared to WWE. You know what I mean? I think there's, if you're a pure wrestler, then you want WWE. You know what I mean? You want to entertain on the biggest level, wrestle on the biggest level. For me, I love being in a crowd of 2,000, 200, 50. I've wrestled in front of 14 people.
Yeah.
I wrestled in front of 700 people. I've wrestled in front of, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
On different levels. I think there's an intimacy better with the indies that you don't get from the big names.
Yeah.
Because we're reachable. We're obtainable. Like, I worked in a gas station for many years and while wrestling. And a little kid came in who saw me at a show 2 days before and goes, Mommy, is that him? Is that him? And his mom looks at me, she goes, are you in a Daniel Carr? And I shake my head and she goes, yeah, baby, but he's like Superman right now. He's not wearing his cape. And I got choked up because I was like, you get it, Mom. Thank you for, like, protecting the, you know what I mean, the character.
Yeah. Yeah, so some people don't even think that. They're like, oh, that's a guy over there, you know, he just plays, he's wrestling, that's all fake, blah, 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 you know.
Yeah, but the mom got it. She protected the character. She protected my fragile ego, to be honest with you. you know what I mean? Because, you know, we get, what I love about the fans, and this is my favorite quote, they allow us to play Superman for the weekend. You know what I mean? They allow us to play Lex Luthor for the weekend.
Yeah.
Like, we get to escape. A lot of us in the indie scene have a 9-to-5. Not all of us are making all our money off of just purely wrestling, right?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, because you got others that are doing, you know, like working in a cubicle or doing, like, you know, like you're saying, gas station or...
I know exterminators. I know... Yeah. People who work for the government. I know guys who work at factories, Amazon, all these places.
Yeah.
But for 3 to 4 days out the week, some of us only one time a month, we get to play Superman for the crowd. We get to be Lex Luthor for the crowd. You know what I mean? The Joker. You know, we get to be something bigger for you for a bit. And that's beautiful.
It's beautiful. I mean, it is. We could. Yeah, when you look at, like, when I watch indie wrestling on TV, whether it's YouTube, whether it's you know, one of those access channels and everything else, and you see how they, like, especially on YouTube when you watch it, like, you know, they're going, like, guerrilla wrestling, you know, and they're very, like, one with the crowd as it is, and the crowd participation, it's like ECW, but they know their limits, you know, like the fans, you know, they're like, all right, well, we're not going to get that close. You know, we'll move out of there.
You'd be surprised how much fans forget their place. As, it gets weird. It gets weird.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, it's like very much so when you're going to wrestle and then they always, like, you know, have, like, that fun. Like, there was one one wrestling match I seen. It was like, it was a four or five. I think it was like a 10-man tag. One side was Matt Riddle, Tommaso Ciampa, Thunder Liger, and who else? There was like some other ones. Like I said, we're going into that whole, I can't think of the fucking name, you know, but I got the picture in my head.
Oh, you mean the hook that they all hooked each other different moves? There was like a long snake line?
Yeah, you know, like that, they did that whole thing, and, you know, and honestly, the finger in the butt kind of thing. And but, yeah, you know, Lager was like, no, put the finger in my ass, you know, and I'm like, wait, what? You know, and then they do that whole, and then Lager has that, like, imaginary looking, like, remote, like, you know, from the movie, you know, click.
Click,
yeah. Know? And then he goes like, and everything goes in slow motion. You know, like that kind of thing we call it when you watch indie wrestling. You know, when you're live or you're watching it on TV, it's so entertaining. You don't see that shit from, you know, WWE or maybe AEW, you know, because they seem like to do the indie wrestlers coming in and not do that, you know, oh, I can't think of anything else that would make the crowd go, wow, you know, like the writers, I mean, and all that.
Indie wrestling, like I said, I can brag about indie wrestling all day.
Go ahead, brag it, man. I love it.
Like, so on a positive, indie wrestling, you're one with the crowd.
Yeah.
You let them in on the joke, right?
Mm-hmm.
Prime example for me is I started as a referee. I became a wrestler for the same company, right? I did a thing where I came back as that referee. The referee name was Nick Toons.
Yeah.
Right? Oh, he wore glasses to the ring. He was very nerdy, like my character, but he was a referee. So my old tag team partner who turned on me was in the match. I took off the glasses and I did my finisher on him. Put the glasses immediately back on, and my partner, to his credit, goes, where did he go? Where did Carr go? And the crowd was like, that's not Carr. That's Nick Toons. That's not Carr. The crowd was in on it. The glasses came off, I was Nathaniel Carr. The glasses went on, I was Nick Toons again. And the crowd completely sold it. Any other show would have been like, ooh.
Yeah.
But when it comes to the intimacy that you connect with the crowd, moments like that can happen, and it's purely funny. And it's purely entertainment. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And I think it's moments like that that makes indie wrestling beautiful. Player Evil Uno was known as Player Uno originally. When I first, before I even got into wrestling, when I met him, I went to a show and he had a controller on his pants. If you press the start button, he paused.
Yeah, but he's a really like you know, he's into like video games and like major, because he does it with like the Twitch, which I still haven't figured out, but yeah.
He's been on a cult show. He's been on a few shows playing video games.
Yeah.
But imagine, he's not going to do that as Evil Uno now.
No. Nah.
But when he was Player Uno with the Smash Bros, he definitely did that controller spot a few times. And it was always the crowd would yell. The crowd would try to press the button and start him up again. You know, if they were in the, you know what I mean? Like, they would try to help him every time. It was always hilarious.
Who's your favorite person to wrestle against? Like, if you, like, wrestled against an opponent and you want to wrestle against more and more, like, what's the one guy that you would most likely wrestle against all the time because you have great chemistry? Yeah.
So, I hate putting him over because he's such a great heel. So I hate to like almost break kayfabe by.
All right, well, you don't want to do that. I mean,
no. I'm just kidding. He's in our company. His name is Dan the Man. He's actually a part of a team called The Mission. Feel free to look him up, from Test of Strength Wrestling in Connecticut. He's such a heel, but that's the best type of person to work with. Like, you just get it. Like, you know, you're a hero. He's the bad guy. That's your story. Like, we're not trying to, and no offense to anyone else who's about that, we're not trying to tell a amazing luchador match or a super technical match. We're telling you a pure story in that ring. and we can just get in that ring and we know our roles already. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I feel like you have a veteran like that that you can just, look, this is what we're doing, right? Cool. And that's pretty much all you're saying. You know where you're going because you know how it's supposed to flow. That's fun. I have a few friends that I've always had fun times with because I can give an idea for what I want to do in a match. And they'll be like, I get that. I see that. I see your vision. And it's like you get very few people in the world that y'all sync up in vision on how y'all want to tell that story in the ring. And I have a few people I would love to do that with in the upcoming next 2 years or so. And I have a few people that I want to get back to do that with. Like, I know we can recreate that magic. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so. Definitely. I mean, it's always like, because you always see certain matches, like, you know, the high price matches, whatever, WWE or whoever, and it's always the same ones. Like, you had Shawn Michaels versus Triple H, which they always had a big draw kind of thing, and it's always good rivalry kind of thing, but they're friends on the outside, too. Yeah. You know? And then they can just be able to make something out of nothing. And it's like, you know, you just like, holy shit, you know. But,
yeah, but even Punk and Cena, who weren't friends,
yeah,
but they got each other and they got the story they were trying to tell.
Yeah.
In every match they worked together, and I think when you have somebody like that that understands your style and your limitations, or your unlimited.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Just,
you have paintbrushes to paint with all day. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah. When I think that name and all that, I think Keith Lee. You know, that guy is just fucking awesome. He's done wrong. We call him WWE, my opinion, but yeah.
I met Lee, love him, great guy. See him on the show. I've heard a lot of interesting criticisms about him that I never thought about. As a fan, I would have never thought of. As a worker and listening to other veterans explain, I was like, I never thought about that before. You know, and it's seeing a guy his size doing so much beautiful maneuvers.
Yeah.
But we grew up in the eras of the Yokozunas, the Bam Bam Bigelows, the Vaders. And there's a reason. Vader could do it in Japan, did amazing things.
Yeah.
But he didn't do it in WWE or WWF at the time, or WCW. And you kind of understand why. You're a big guy. You don't have to. They have to move you. You don't have to move.
Yeah.
So it's almost like Lee maybe gives up his size a little bit in that sense, because he does so much amazing athleticism that when you're getting moved around by the guy three times less your size, it feels weird, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I've seen him fight Darby Allin in person. I've seen, you know what I mean? And I've seen him take a Hurricanrana from Darby Allin, you know? I don't think Darby Allin could move a Keith Lee. Or shouldn't it be moving to Keith Lee, you know? Does it feel realistic? So it takes away from that. Like, you don't go into a fight thinking you're going to beat up a 7-foot guy, do you?
Yeah, I know. I mean, it's just like, they try. Yeah, I mean, it's like, you're going there, you're like, oh, fucking shit. You know, you're going to get killed. You know, that's like saying the Dudley boys, you know, they had Spike Dudley, and he's going against, like, somebody that's, like, 6 foot.
Yeah, 911, and, you know what I mean? You know.
And it's
Paul Mahoney.
Yeah, Paul Mahoney, yeah.
You get tossed in the crowd.
And again, we're talking about, like, you know, people that have different, like, you know, and he's a teacher. You know, fucking Spike Dudley, he's like a teacher for a school. And I'm like, imagine that shit. You know, you're done with a match, and then you got this big welt on your head. All right, class, turn your page. Like, what the fuck happened to you?
What's his name? Matt something. Matt, he was in WWE. And he did commentary for Impact for a while. He still does. I'm not sure. Matt.
Stryker.
Yeah, Matt Stryker. Matt Stryker was a teacher.
Yeah.
Matt Stryker literally called out of school to go work. I think it was Kurt Angle, because WWE gave him the call. So he called out sick and then got fired for that because they saw him on TV that same night. How are you sick if you're in? Getting beat up by Kurt Angle, you know what I mean? So it's just stuff like that. It's like, wow, you never know where people come from. Like I said, I know people who are social workers who do hardcore matches, you know?
Yeah, I know.
How are you a therapist, bro? You need therapy, you know?
Now, so my question is, I seen this thing on, like, on your Twitter, I think it was, we call it, about Chris Hero, which goes by a no-name in WWE, but now I don't think where he is now. Yeah, but I don't know what the whole thing was. I was trying to get some information about it, but is there, like, animosity or something between you and Chris Hero, or I don't know what the whole thing was. You know, maybe I read it wrong.
You might have. I like Chris Hero. I have no issue with him. He did a seminar for my school, so I was just being in character, cracking jokes about finally meeting a real hero.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
but then
yeah.
I was also making jokes about his old name, Cassius Ohno. Yeah. So I was doing a bunch of like puns on both those things. Like, he's the only, you know, he's the, oh no, Chris Hero is coming to train to do a seminar with, you know, Tessa Strain. You know, listen, yeah. I'm very punny. I can't help myself. He might not like me for that now. I might have legitimate heat. He's like, oh my God, if one more pun, he tagged me to.
Well, but, honestly, I don't know if he's going to listen to this, you know, because you never know. But other people said, oh, yeah, there's a lot of people that listen to other podcasts and you don't even know it. I'm like, yeah, I know. But I wish they would, you know, say something like on Twitter.
I wish they would acknowledge me.
Yeah, you know, acknowledge. Like,
hey, the Roman Reigns of podcasts. Acknowledge me.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, oh, hey, you know, I like your stuff and, you know, maybe you can do this and that, you know, because I was like trying to get like over like, trying to get celebrities and everything else, and you were like the first, like legit, in my mind, you know, legit like celebrity wrestler as it is, you know, because, you know, it's like, you know, indie wrestlers and everything else, you know, they make everybody like happy watching that. It's great entertainment stuff, you know, and
I think that's why I love the most about being an indie wrestler. It's like I said, you can't beat that connection that you get from an indie show compared to a live. Like, yes. AEW came to Connecticut. It was amazing. People loved it. But I guarantee you, it took 3% of that crowd, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, 10% of that crowd, and put them in an indie show where the people are actually moving around you, where you actually have a tiny meet and greet, you know, during intermission, during the beginning of the show, before the beginning of the show, yeah. With the same people, you will feel different.
Yeah.
Because you're looking at them from afar, but now I can shake your hand. I can thank you for whatever moment you gave me. I can tell you how great your match was that night. Whatever it is, you have that moment. You don't get that from these big companies anymore.
Now, you were talking about like being a referee in the beginning. Now, do you remember a referee named Mark Dundee?
Mark Dundee.
I know he's going to be like, yeah. He does like referees, like for, you know, he doesn't do referees. I mean, but he's a referee.
I mean, if he does do referees, we don't judge here. This is a judgment free zone.
No, the but I don't want him to think that because, you know, I know his real name and everything else, but, you know, I don't want him to think like, oh my God, man, really? You know?
I got you.
But, you know, because he's, you know, he does like a big, was it the Kaiju, Big Battle. You know, which is like, you know, like dinosaur looking.
Yeah, I've heard of them. Like one of my colleagues is a fan. He loves them. He was actually going to go down to a show before a pandemic kicked in. But I know of the promotion. I just don't know of necessarily Dundee.
Well, I figured because because pretty much everybody knows everybody where it's in indie or if it's like lower part of not I'm not saying lower part of indie wrestling, but there is like, you know, everybody's like, oh, I remember that guy. Yeah, that guy is over in
it's moment. Almost a 6 degrees of separation.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like one of those things where you're like, I know it, but maybe if I saw him then I'll know exactly. But, you know, he's done a lot of, he's been doing refereeing with, like, you know, against with like AJ Styles, Ric Flair, you know, you name it. Who's who of wrestling? He's been doing like the house shows, I would figure, you know, where they go in like little town ones, I guess. And mostly upstate or something. But let's go into a different prospect now. Let's talk about movies. Now, you're the movie buff, as you told me. You know, go into the whole movies. I'm a movie somewhat buff. You know, I'm like, I know certain things. I like horror movies. I like the actions, you know. But as we were talking about, we don't really know them by names that much. So, what is your, like, go-to movie or your favorite movie that you would, you know, like, when you're done doing your wrestling show and you come home and then you just want to unwind, you're like, you know what, I'm just going to watch a fucking movie.
Now you're really just putting me out there.
it wouldn't be my show if I don't put anybody out there. Come on now.
That's a valid point. You know what, it is weird. It depends on my mood.
Yeah.
But it'll be sometimes like Starship Troopers. Like, for some reason, just sitting back and watching that until I fall asleep is a great movie to watch. Sometimes it's watching a pup named Scooby-Doo. I go to my old school cartoons just to unwind because, you know, you're dealing with so much adult stuff. Like, I just want to just chill and watch some cartoons for a little bit before I go to bed. Movies, I'm a sucker for a good 80s movie still.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, I could put on Mannequin and I can put on The Last Dragon, or I can put on, you know, The Breakfast Club. You know, I can keep going. I can put on movies from the 90s, like Hackers, or even musicals like Newsies. You know what I mean? Just like I say, it depends on my mood. Yeah. And I just click into it and I'm just like, all right, cool. Like, I went through a Disney phase. Like, after every show, I watched a Disney movie from my childhood. Like, I watched a Goofy movie, and I watched, Fern Gully, and I watched all these other movies. I'm just like...
So you're like an all-round, you watch whatever suits the need, you know, as it is. It's not like one... Because, like, myself, I mean, I'll watch... Like, I love horror, and everybody knows this about me, that I love horror stuff. I like action. I like comedy. So even if I have a vast majority of a mixture of all three of those genres, it'll be fucking perfect. But, Last Dragon, that's like old, you know, like start with, you got Vanity in there. You got, Shownuff, And, you know, honestly, I would love to have a shirt like that. I should just try to see if I can get a shirt with a squid that looks like Shownuff, you know.
Oh, my God, that'd be hilarious.
Oh, my.
So, to tie in that movie with wrestling, right?
Yeah.
I'm a nerd. That's also my character, but it's me in real life. So, I really love Up, Up, Down, Down with Xavier Woods and all that stuff. And he had Rusev. Well, Miro, but it was Rusev at the time.
Yeah.
Playing a video game. And he was like, yeah, hey, you remember I gave you that movie to watch? He's like, oh, yeah, you mean That Last Dragon? You know, he's talking and all that stuff. He's like, yes, I love that movie. That movie is so amazing. It's awesome. And they were at a Comic-Con, and Leroy was there, and he surprised Rusev.
Oh,
and did
shit.
Up, Up, Down, Down with Rusev. And Rusev is just losing his ever-loving shit. Like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Kiss my Converse. Kiss my Converse. Oh, my God, it's you. And he's just fanboying out. And it's the best thing I've ever seen in the world. And I'm just geeking out watching it. I said it to all my friends. I was like, you don't get it. Rusev is like me right now. Like, he's losing his ish for freaking Bruce Leroy. He's like, I love this movie. It's the greatest American action movie of all time. Like, I just found out about it last year. Like, he's losing his shit and just, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. Like, it was amazing to watch. You got to look it up. It's one of my favorite things to watch on the internet. When I'm down and depressed, like, I'll put that thing back on. It's an hour-long video, but it's so worth it. Like,
was that YouTube?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Up, Up, Down, Down YouTube channel where Rusev meets, his name is Tamik. And he meets him. And I haven't met him. And actually, my old trainer, original trainer, had a match with Tamik in Queens in 2010. And I was like, I'm not really, really, you wrestle Bruce Leroy? He's like, yep, I wrestle Bruce Leroy. I'm like, oh, God. And I was like, I'm picking a school. Like, it's the stupidest reason to pick a wrestling school. But yeah. I knew I was sticking there. I'm like, he wrestled Bruce Leroy. He's the greatest wrestler in the world. I don't know why. To me, he became the greatest wrestler in the world from that little factoid.
Yeah. I mean, you see other celebrities, like, trying to get into the whole wrestling, you know, whatever. You know, it's like they just try to dabble in. Even, the guy from fucking, he's married to Courtney Cox. Or what?
Oh, David Arquette.
Yeah. You know, and then he's like doing, now he's like wrestling every once in a while, but he still wrestles.
He had a hardcore match with Nick Gage.
Yeah.
And he also was a WCW champion, too. Like, let's not knock him.
Yeah. You know, he's got he had like the championship here and there, and then all of a sudden
terrible time, but yeah, he was a champion for a bit.
Yeah. He did the thing with Nick Cage and with the whole glass. And folks, if you're listening to this, we could, and there's a thing called, now it's called, Game Changer Wrestling. Before it was Glass Ceiling Wrestling, because glass ceiling, that's all they were using was glass, you know, glass partitions, glass, we call it tubes that you have for, like, you know, cubicles, I mean, for the office areas and everything else. And it is, like, bloody, brutal. You know, if you're squeamish, do not even, like, go and venture into it.
But do watch David Arquette's documentary about his, like, 2 years back into wrestling.
Yeah.
Which is an amazing documentary.
That's the one with Nick Cage in it, right? That's the one.
Yeah, I think it ends with him fighting Nick Gage. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Yeah. No, not Nick Cage, Nick Gage. Not to get all mixed up with that guy that thinks he's Superman. You know, and he has that fascination with fucking Elvis. Oh, that's an Elvis.
Nicolas Cage.
Yeah, I know. But that's why I'm trying not to have them thinking like.
And he was, remember, technically, he's not obsessed with, he technically was Superman.
Yeah.
The movie just never got made.
Thank God.
Thank God, because everything I saw about that movie looked terrible.
It didn't look right. I mean, it just really, especially the curl with the hair. You know,
the giant spider he was supposed to fight.
Yeah. Ugh. No. Oh. Okay. Now, I don't know if you know this. Now we all know who Kevin Smith is. Right.
Oh, I love Kevin Smith. You know, don't get me started. I love Kevin Smith.
But no. We call it. But there was a story about because Kevin Smith. Now, folks, everybody knows who Kevin Smith is. We call it, you know, Jay and Silent Bob. You know, the whole nine yards and everything else. Kevin Smith did this college tour thing, and it's on YouTube. It's a college tour where he would go to colleges and. People would go and ask him questions. They'll be online. It's like, yeah. But they'll switch it up. They'll edit it. Like, he'll be over in Montana, you know, at the college. Or he'll be over here in Las Vegas or whatever. And then he had a story about, they wanted him to make a script for Superman Lives. And he, you know, the whole thing was like, they have these guys come by. We want you to do this. Okay. And then he met the director. And he goes, tell me about Superman, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, well, it's a Man of Steel. You know, he's from Krypton. It's like, does he have to be from another planet? And he goes, yeah, he's Superman. And then he goes on and he goes, but what about the cape? Does he really need the cape? I'm like, he's fucking Superman. He needs the cape, you know. He's like, all right, what about the flying? Does he really have to fly? Again, he's fucking Superman. You know, so he just kept on going and on. He goes, well, I always want to have a movie where he's fighting a big spider. You know, and I'm like, huh? And I'm just listening to this whole thing. And they were like, well, where does he have a home? He goes, yeah, it's the Fortress of Solitude. And he goes, well, where's that? He goes, well, it's up in, you know, like the cold area, so nobody goes there. It's solitude. He goes, does he have guards? He goes, it's the Fortress of Solitude. There's nobody there, just him. Solitude, hello. And they just go on like that. He's like, well, what about the polar bears? Aren't they, like, attacking him or something? And we go, no. And he goes, what the fuck's wrong with this guy? Well, anyway, so they...
They wanted him to have polar bear guards, right?
Yeah, polar bear guards... And they fast forward the whole thing to where the movie Wild Wild West came out. And so now they have Will Smith, which is a hero, doesn't fly, doesn't have a cape, but he's fighting a huge fucking spider. Let alone it's a mechanical spider, but it's a spider nonetheless. So that's what, when you said that about fighting a spider, because that's what I got from the whole thing with Superman and the Kevin Smith story.
Yeah, my God, that's one of my favorite stories that Kevin told.
Yeah, it was just like, the way he tells it is phenomenal. It's just like funny as hell. And then you get the crowd's reaction when he said Wild Wild West, and they're like, oh, okay, now it comes together. Yeah. Let me write this down. Big spider. Yeah. But
one of my favorite Kevin Smith things is when this little girl who looks like, at the time, Ellen Page, but you know, now he's Elliot Page.
Yeah.
But she looked like him, and she's asking him questions. He's like, "How the fuck old are you?" Like, he's like, "Oh, I'm like, I think she's like 14. And he goes, "What irresponsible parent brought you to see me?"
What was the other thing that he went to? He had the movie Dogma, and he was out there, we call it, protesting his own movie.
Oh yeah, he was out there with the signs with those church people. What's their names? You know those people. But it's so funny because he was protesting with them originally, and then when there were like 7 or 8 of them, and then his fans did an anti-protest against that protest.
Yeah.
Led by his best friend. I think it was his best friend. It might have been his brother.
No, and I think it was his best friend. Yeah, that was. Yeah.
And he had the best sign ever that says, "Dicks are delicious." And that's all the sign said. And I heard that story. I was like, oh my God, that's hilarious. I'm just picturing a group of fucking movie nerds that are supporting Kevin Smith, led by a fat gay man with a sign that says, "Dicks are delicious." I'm just like, fucking A, that's amazing.
That's gonna be funny with the question I put in. It's like, are dicks delicious?
Yeah, like one of the guys are holding the sign that says, "Fags are burning in hell." Excuse my French. Yeah. Some offensive signs, and then reading the sign that says, "Dicks are delicious," and he's like, "Are they?" Baby, are they? I wouldn't know. I don't touch you. I'm just imagining this whole conversation.
And especially when the reporter comes around and it's like, and she notices the guy. She notices Kevin Smith and it's like,
aren't you? Isn't this your?
Yeah. Aren't you him? It's like, no, I'm not really him. No, I'm not. You know, and then all of a sudden it's like,
he was on TV.
Yeah, but what are you here for? He's like, I'm here to protest this fucking movie. It's bad. Bad. Yeah.
And then they see him on TV. And they put him on TV.
And then everybody, the mom and dad's like, what the fuck is this?
Like, he's like, "Mom, watch Jersey News this week. Watch the news. I'm going to be on it." Westfield Baptist Church. That's what it is. Westboro.
Oh my God.
That's, and then the funny thing is, they came to protest again for our red state.
Oh no.
And they were like, "No, we're just gonna leave you alone." He had like a full blown interview with the woman, like one of the daughters, and he invited her to the screening. He says, "You don't have to sit out here. Come sit on the balcony and watch the movie." And then like they stood for like 2 minutes and left. It's the funniest story. We're not doing it justice, guys. If you're listening, we're not doing it justice. It's hilarious. And it's just how Dogma and Red State connected. It's an amazing story.
I love Dogma. I mean, I just love the whole thing. Chris Rock. Yeah, again with the names.
Ben Affleck and Matt Damon.
No, I know about Ben Affleck and Matt Damon and everything else. But then the guy that
George Carlin?
Well, no, George Carlin. I forgot he was in that one. Selma Hayek. If she could do a strip tease. Oh, jeez. Anyway.
It's just funny that Kevin got her to strip.
Yeah.
And she hasn't done a stripping scene since From Dusk Till Dawn. So it's like, how did you pull this off, dude? He's like, the gods love me. I was like, well played.
No, but listen, he was the one of the teachers in Harry Potter, and he was the...
Oh, yeah, I know you talk about the muse. Not the muse, yeah. The voice of God. Yeah.
You know, but Alanis Morissette as God, you know.
Yes. And yeah, even they continue that joke where they say she comes back for Jay and Silent Bob Strikes Back and closes the book. And then reopens it up in Clerks 2.
So, yeah. And folks, this is not religion. This is just a movie about it. So we're not talking about religion.
And we find a way around the rule. We find a way around the rule.
Yeah. We're going around the rules. It's religion in the movie, but it's not basically religion in life that we're talking about. You know?
Yeah.
So, you know, as it is, Alanis Morissette is like, you know, God, you know, that can't speak. And when she does, it's a deafening noise. Yep. And the shit monster.
Blows up hearts, apparently.
And the shit monster.
Yes, the shit demon. The shit demon.
The shit demon.
My friend actually for a while there had me, because we worked together, and because he wasn't a fan of me having to go on so many potty breaks because I'm a diabetic, he renamed me in his phone as the Gregorian, I'm butchering the name, the Gregorian shit demon. So literally, when I called him, it was a picture of the shit demon and the whole thing, and it was always me. And I was like, you really changed me in your phone? He's like, yep, I changed me in your phone. So every time you call me, that's the picture that comes up, and I know it's you.
Well,
and I'm like, I hate you.
Well, since you have the shit demon as, you know, your profile picture for on the phone, as it is. When I was in my bar days... And no, folks, I was not called a shit demon in the bar days. No, that we're not going into that transcending kind of thought. This was more like an alien version. So when I was started drinking, I go into this one bar. Like, I live in Long Island, New York. So there's like this one bar. It's not there anymore, but it was called Garfield's. Love the place. It's like a second home. So we go in there, and the bartender would make rum and coke. It's shots, but basically it's like a little glass of yay, you know, like whatever, you know, it's like a drinking kind of glass, and you got it down it like a shot. So, and it was called Guzzlers. So that's what we did. And then we play darts and pool, and they come back, and we go back to our second home and hang out. He'll buy like a round for everybody. Now, at that time, he didn't know who the fuck I was. So I didn't get any, I wasn't in the whole thing, but he pulled me over to the people in the booth, and it's like, everybody, look at him, neck, look at the neck and the face. Doesn't he look like E.T.? And I'm like, what? I know he's drunk and all that, but really, E.T.? And it just stuck. It just stuck for like years, like almost 10 years or something, and it just stuck. And then, but now I've grown, and you know, the neck has grown a little bit. You know, so
still got a little more.
Yeah, you know, so then when I go down there, like, oh, it's E.T. And then all of a sudden they look at me, and then people are like, why you call me E.T.? He's like, well, back then he had the neck and, you know, that, the whole spiel. And yeah, you know, so that was my whole thing in life. They're like, E.T. this, and he didn't know my fucking real name for like 10 years. He just called me E.T. and it was just so easy. Or, you know, Mr. E.T. or, you know, his girlfriend would be like, E of no T, you know. But, you know, that was it.
The name was Mystery. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, Mystery. The man of Mystery. But then also there was another thing of when I walked into this other bar that my friend, the bartender that called me E.T., he walked in. He was working at another bar at the time being. And the guy that owned that thing, the bar, I would walk in. And he would just yell the top of his lungs saying, all rise, like I was a judge or some shit. And I'm like, I looked at him, I'm like, really? I'm like, what the hell is that about? And everybody looked at me like, and they all rise. Like they got out of their seats and went like that. And then sat back down. And I'm like, the fuck was this about? And my friend just looked at me, he goes, I don't know. I don't know what happened. I don't know what happened here. And ever since then, it was just, every time I walk in that bar, all rise, you know, that was it. And I love that guy for that, but, you know, he passed away, like, I don't know how many years ago it was, but it was just weird that he was drinking with us on New Year's Eve, and the New Year's Day is when we found out he passed away. So, oh, wow. I was like, shit. I'm like, what the fuck? I'm like, damn, that's fucked up shit. So, but on a lighter note, let's talk about how you were recommended to me about, because I always wanted to go and talk with indie wrestlers, never had a chance. Now, you know, our friend Jolene from Dolly Parton.
Jolene.
But how, now you were telling me a little bit of how you met Jolene from the podcast It Goes Down in the PM.
Yep.
So take it away, how you
All right, I always say life is hilarious, right?
Mm-hmm.
This happened to me, happened to me twice now. Jolene, I met at my job. I was a market manager for a research company. And I would get recruit people to come taste products or watch movie trailers,
mm-hmm.
all this stuff. So she was in the mall with her kids. So I'm like, yeah, you want to come in and watch this with your kids? You can. And she's like, no problem. Which that doesn't sound anything like her.
Maybe a little bit.
She's so tiny. she's gonna kick my butt for that one.
Yeah, she's gonna kick my butt too. She's gonna kick both our asses.
Yeah. For real. So she came in, she did a thing, she did an interview. Of course, because we wasn't friends yet, I was terribly trying to hit on her. And then she's like, I'm married. I'm like, ah, that stops there. Okay. So we kept bumping into each other though.
Now she's definitely gonna fucking kill you.
Yeah. So it gets better. So I keep bumping into her on the city buses before, you know, she had this hilarious minivan we used to make fun of her about. And we just kept bumping each other. And then, like, for some weird reason, I left that job and became a wrestler. We became great friends. She's my sister now. So it's really weird to say I used to hit on her once because she's like my little sister now. You know what I mean? So, but then, like, her kids, I love them to death. Those are my nieces and nephews. And we just did great friends. She came to my wrestling shows. The loudest person there. The tiniest person, but the loudest person.
Oh, yeah. It was
always hilarious when she came to my shows. Because, God forbid, somebody hit her brother, she would threaten to jump into the ring. And can you imagine Jolene talking about, you get off my brother! And I'm like, I wanted to stop the match. I'm like, you know it's fake, right? Stop that! And then we get a combination of Jolene and my actual mother there, and the boys, because she would bring her sons sometimes, yelling for their uncle / brother / son. My promoter used to die laughing. She loved that combination because it felt like it was the only match that was real to somebody. They became characters at my shows. My mom became Mama Carr. Wrestlers would hit on her on purpose just to piss me off. They gave her free merchandise.
Yeah.
Jolene came to most of my shows. Her boys, the wrestlers would pick on them, and another wrestler would save them, or I would save them. You know what I mean? It was They all became characters. And it was just it was beautiful. But yeah. So she loved the fact that I represented the town we were from. I didn't hide from it. I didn't pretend to be from Vegas or from somewhere else. Like, I was from New Haven, Connecticut. I was the Elm City sensation. Which Elm City is what New Haven is known as. So I didn't shy away from that type of information. So it was nice. And then, like I said, we're still friends. She sadly lives on the East Coast, West Coast now.
Yeah.
The West Coast solar. But, yeah, we still keep in contact, and she recommended you as she recommended me to you. So it's kind of weird, you know.
Yeah, man, we could, because yeah, she's always like, I love her to death. She's always helping me out. She's always like, you know, retweeting all the stuff and, you know, go and check out this guy and do this and that. And she's like a pillar to the podcast community as it is. And also a wrestling fan, because I had her on the show a while back, which I'm thinking now we should try to go and have like an episode together, me, you, and Julian. You know, like, just
we won't get a word in. You know that, right?
I'm just gonna sit there. I'm gonna drink my drink, and then we'll just watch her do the whole shit. You know.
Yeah. Trust me. I can trigger her with certain catchphrases and words, and she'll go to a whole tirade story about them. You know what I mean?
I know. Like,
it was fun, interesting time. We hung out. She would literally make coquito, even though she's the first person I knew that made the Spanish treat coquito.
Yeah.
Not around Christmas time. It was summertime. She's like, I'm craving coquito. We're going to make coquito today. And I'm like, nah, that's only for Christmas. Like, for some reason, I couldn't fathom drinking that outside of the Christmas season. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, you can make it any day, you know? So it was hilarious. It was so many stories. Yes. It's hilarity what happened.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Wait, you like this? I was trying to find a Spanish, like, kind of like, you know, music kind of thing, and that's what popped up.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't work out. I was trying to do, like, this whole, you know, sound thing, and I'm a little, you know, behind the scenes with it. So, but tell everybody where they can find you at, where, you know, because you, I'm sorry, we call it also that you're on TikTok.
Yes.
Yeah.
I have expanded my nerdy persona into the TikTok world. It's rough. I am definitely showing my age because I don't know how to use these famgadams thingies, but I'm getting better at it. But I have fun with it. Still learning it. You can find me there at Nathaniel Carr Pro CT. You can find me pretty much almost everywhere with the same name, Nathaniel Carr Pro CT. On Nathaniel Carr CT. On Nathaniel Carr Pro. Instagram, Twitter, YouTube will be the Nerd Nation. I'll be dropping more longer form videos soon regarding
Nerd
wrestling
Nation?
And wrestling
All right,
promos.
I got you. I'll be checking that out, Nerd Nation.
Yep, Nerd Nation is definitely going to be starting up soon.
You're going to be like, do you go, when you wrestle, do you just wrestle in a certain area of where you're at now, or do
No, I'm one of the few guys that try to get out of my state. I feel like you can saturate your state too much.
Yeah.
Where they can see you, if they can see you in four different companies within a three-state radius, is what's the point? Like, Connecticut is not Texas. So if three companies is running in Connecticut and they can see you in all three, they can see you within 15 minutes of each other. That's not really an appealing concept to me.
Yeah.
I love wrestling in upstate New York and Massachusetts and Rhode Island and Jersey and PA and Maryland. In Ohio and Michigan have given me a call about my return. I want to go to California. I want to go to Texas. I want to be able to say that I took this business, no matter how long I did it for, and I saw the world with it. I want to go to Germany. I want to go to England. I want to go to Canada. I want to go to Ecuador.
Yeah.
Maybe Mexico. You know, I have a American lucha style background, so I can definitely still work that style if I need to. You know.
No, definitely, yeah.
You know,
but
like
if you're in, like, say when you do come back. And try to get down to, like, the Long Island area, you know, so that way...
Hey, I'm assuming you have a vehicle. Connecticut ain't far from Long Island.
Dude, I don't even drive, like, that far. Now with gas now, dude, I mean, with this whole thing going on with gases, I'm like, shit, I'm like, I gotta win a lotto just to fill up a tank.
Yeah, I mean, I remember when $20 used to fill up my girlfriend's tank.
Yeah.
And now she's like, yeah, it's a three-quarters of a tank full after $25.
Yeah,
it's not even close to be full yet because it went up again. It's like $4.35 in Massachusetts and Connecticut on average. So that's weird.
I mean, it's like when I was looking at it the other day or something, I think it was like over four or something or whatever. And I'm like, holy shit. I'm like, when they went up like over $3. I thought that was a lot, you know. Then all of a sudden it went to like $4. I'm like, shit, California itself. I'm like,
I worked at a gas station where it was like it went down to 180, and people were like, oh my god, it's the end of the world. Like, it's so cheap. And that was like up to $4, and then like it's over $4, and like it's the end of the world. I'm like, is gas the determination of when the world ends? Apparently, if it goes too low, it goes too high. It's the end of the world, apparently.
Also, I'm going to put you in a, not a bracket, but we call it, I'm going to have, soon, and I say this many times, and people, I know I'm a broken record when I talk about this game, but I love the game, and I ordered it, and I'm still waiting for it. This game is called Movie Game.
Mm-hmm.
And, moral of the story is, and I'm not going to drag it out, but it's basically, you have two synapses of a movie, or TV show. It doesn't matter what it is. You can have, like, a movie here, or a video game here, or a video game, and, you know, whatever. You can change the shit up. And basically, you just have to put both names together. So, there's, like, either one name has to, like, solidify both titles together, or it could be a sound of one letter that goes into another one. Mm. So, it's really fun, especially when you watch it. And, actually, if you do watch, just type in, like, when you go to YouTube, go movie game.
All right.
And you'll see what I'm talking about. And then there's a guy, Joe Beretta, he's from the Valley Folk, and you'll see, like, a whole, you know, like, the newer ones now is more, you know, how we're talking now, or, you know, like, Zoom chats, they would do it. But, you know, they used to do it, like, in studio and just, you know, say the whole thing and everything else. But it's really fun stuff and everything else. So, you know, check that out. And then I want to go and do something where when I get the game, I want to get key people so they can play against each other. And I'll be like the host.
I don't mind winning your game every time you play it. Let's see. I'm not just competitive in the ring. I'm competitive in every game I play.
Oh, I know. Hey,
especially trivia and movie trivia. Oh my god, that's like
So I figured you're gonna be a good shoe-in, you know, to be, you know, winning up to this, or, you know, it might stump you. You never know.
Mm.
You know, because it's the way. Like, all right. For instance, I'm not even gonna go and say the one I always say. I'm gonna make up one on the spot for you.
All
right. So we'll go and say, you know, guy plays a video game, but when he plays the video game, the guy goes on the computer, goes and plays one game, gets in trouble with the military because that said computer still wants to play a game, but then comes across of, I gotta think about this. I had it in my head, now I gotta think about it again. All right, so yeah, guy's on the computer. The computer wants to play video games all the time, but when times are tough, the computer still wants to play the video games. But turns out that the games are going to be relived as a medieval knights and taken over a huge barricade to push back the. I know it's really fucked up analogy, but you know, let's go with that and see what happens. So you got
right, the first one is War Games.
Okay.
And I'm trying to think of it. So Dragon War Games.
Huh.
Dragon War Games?
Well, figuring that you have to go and use the last word or letter, whatever, the last word or letter of the first synapses to the second synapses.
Okay, so then games would be the first word for the second. You stumped me. I can't think of game. What game? War Games.
But then you don't have to use the S. You know, I mean, you can take the S
war
out.
War game. I want to say War Game Changer Wrestling. That's not obviously not it, but You got me.
War Game of Thrones.
War Game of Thrones.
There you go. There you go.
Ah, yes.
So it's like that, you know. Yeah, it's like a mind thinking. You have to like try to put it together. If you don't know certain things, and it could be just it could be movies, it could be a TV show, it could be a video game, it could be one person, you know. So it could be a singular person or entity, you know, as it is. So that's what I'm gonna do. Even though they put it out there, I want to try to like keep it going, you know, but like on the show. So
I gotcha.
Yeah, and yeah, you'll be a good fit to like do the whole, you know, do the thing. And I'm gonna get other ones, like there's other podcasters, like, you know, that it's called Game for a Movie, and you know, everybody that does everything about movies and shows, and it'll be really fun. And
yeah, then I definitely want to do something in the future, you know, with the Nathaniel Carr trademark and, you know, Nerdom Nation. About movies. I love movies so much. I think there's so many sleeper movies out there that people don't talk about. I think there's a few movies out there that is super overrated or I didn't get. Like, I'm one of the few people in the world that didn't really like The Godfather. I binge watched Godfather 1 and 2 in one day, and I was like, okay, I guess.
You might have a hit on you. You never know.
I might find a horse's head in my bed tonight. But yeah, there's nerd movies. People are like, oh my god, how are you not a fan of this series? I'm like, I'm not. All right,
wait. If you're a nerd as you say you are, Wico, do you know about Grandma's Boy?
Of course, I know about Grandma's Boy.
Okay, now I just want to make sure. Yeah, because that was the other thing I wanted to like. There's a guy named Josh G, and he does a thing called Your Next Favorite Movie, which his thing is, wait, I gotta write this down because I gotta do honorary mentions as well. He will go and give you, like, he'll have you on there if you have your favorite movie, and that was like my favorite movie, and then you have to go and give said synopsis of the movie, so people are like, oh, well, I never heard this movie or whatever, you know. And then if they had a second season, if there was a part two of it, you know, which they never had, there wasn't a sequel to it, what kind of sequel would it be? Now, I had the sequel of the guy's own Brainesium, and own it, run the whole thing. The guy that is like the robot, you know, that thinks he's a robot.
Yeah.
He is the janitor.
Sit on my face.
He is the janitor of said Brainesium. And so they have like celebrity friends that come in to go and try out the video games. And one of them is Nicolas Cage. So Nicolas Cage is on there. And then they're all smoking weed like you would see on That 70s Show. So, you know, they sit around table and they go like that. And now everybody's fucking high. And Nicolas Cage is smoking weed with them. And then they're like, oh my God, this is so great that we're smoking weed with Nicolas Cage. And they turn around and there's fucking Ghost Rider smoking fucking weed. You know? And they're like, holy shit! You know? And then they turn back and like, what happened? It's just me. Hey, how you doing, guys? You know? You know? And it was just like, that's how fucking wonky the whole thing would be. You know, I mean, you're not going to have Doris Roberts on it because, you know, God rest her soul, she passed away. But, you know, maybe her ghost would come back. I don't know. But, you know.
They did it in Ghostbusters, just saying.
Yeah. No spoilers, but I mean, there is some.
Spoiler alert, sorry.
I did. No, but I seen it. Oh, my God.
The tears. Oh, my. Like, I couldn't even stop. Me and my girlfriend was in the movie theater just bawling.
Because me and my girlfriend were just like watching it, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, it's like the first, you know. I was like, yeah, but it's getting better. It's like a huge fucking trap, you know. And people are listening, it's like, what do you mean a huge fucking trap? What the hell are you talking about? Well, then you get to like watch the fucking movie. Come on now.
Exactly.
Well, especially now it's on, you can, you know, rent it now. So
I miss. I actually want to open up. So beautiful side note. I want to open up a
Blockbuster.
Vintage Blockbuster, like real hipster style, where it's like deep cut movies and all this stuff. And it's like only two DVDs of all these movies you can't find anywhere else. You're not gonna like Angus. You remember that movie Angus about the fat kid?
I don't. What the hell is Angus? Oh my
god! It's about this fat kid in high school who's a science nerd also. And he gets to take a pretty girl to prom, right? And he's bullied. Actually, I think he's bullied by James Vanderbeek, a young James Vanderbeek.
Okay.
You know, yeah, Dawson's Creek, Dawson on the River kids. Yeah. So, you know what I mean? But, you know, he gets to come up and he kind of gets the girl, but he gets to appreciate himself. Like, his friend is a weird, big-eared ginger. You know what I mean? Okay. And he has that big, you know, that big nerd moment where he stands up to the bully and does that big speech at prom that, you know, we all like each other. We're all the same. We're somebody's geek. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's a 90s movie. It's really good, but it's so hard to find anywhere. Or like a movie from the 80s called Solar Babies.
Oh, yeah.
Or The Legend of Billie Jean. Fair is Fair.
That you know, is a good
all
movie.
All those deep cut movies in there, you know what I mean?
That is a good fucking movie, bro.
Right?
That one and Solar Babies. Nobody knows about Solar Babies.
Solar Babies is so good, and it's before Lost Boys. So, like, you have Jason Patrick in there, and the girl, you know what I mean? And a couple other actors, too, and it's like, oh! When I say deep cut movie references, man, you remember The Gate?
Yeah.
Another deep cut movie you can't find in most places. You know, look, Amazon is kind of getting the deep cut movies you can find it on Amazon, but imagine a whole, like, you know, Blockbuster-esque vibe. But literally, it's deep cut movies only. You know what I mean? Where, like, you're only going to find deep cut movies, and you're going to find, like, gems.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Anywhere else, you know? Like, you even know, the original Care Bear movie, like stuff like that.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, Doom Generation is going to hear this and be like, oh, Care Bears. You know? Which is another podcasting because, you know, there's a lot of podcasters out there and they have like different things that they jump into. And when I hear it, like Care Bears, they're talking about Beetlejuice. They're talking about other stuff, and then there's like other ones that do cartoons, and I'm like, oh, I remember that cartoon.
I have a huge Thundercat tattoo, so
I got a Wildcats fucking tattoo.
Oh wow, I love that. It had a great theme song too.
Yeah,
like it wasn't the X-Men level, but it was on CBS Saturday morning cartoons, and I loved it because it was really really cool, and it had a great theme song. But it just didn't last that long.
And I actually had the Thundercat sword.
Oh.
Because I have a friend of mine that sells knives and swords. Now, everybody, you listen to this, go to Keith Loves Jewelry. It could be an S after Key or an S after Loves, but just try it out. Keith Loves Jewelry, you'll see a whole bunch of different shit on there. So he has everything from, you know, taser guns to nunchucks, and he has like the Thundercat sword. He has, you know, swords from Game of Thrones, you name it. He's got like almost everything of it.
So, because I'm a huge Highlander fan, the series and the movies,
yeah.
And I'm so excited about the fact that Superman might be playing in the next Highlander movie, in the Highlander reboot.
Back up. Hold on. Wait, Superman's going to be in the Highlander movie?
Yep. Witcher, yep.
That's it dunks the fuck out of me right now. I'm like, wait a minute, what?
Yep, can you imagine? That's going to be an amazing movie.
Hold on, I got to write this son of a bitch down. Hold on here, Highlander, Superman. Holy fuck.
So I love Adrian Paul. I love that series. Duncan MacLeod and Clan MacLeod is one of my favorite shows of all time.
Yeah. They even did a spinoff with Raven, I think it was.
Yep. It was The Highlander and the Raven.
Yeah.
With the chick. Yep.
Yeah.
And with then, Amanda.
But who's the original guy again? I forgot what the original one
was. not Duncan. It was Duncan, and it was Connor. Connor McCloud.
Yeah, but I mean the actor's name actually.
I'm Christopher something maybe.
Christopher Lambert. You're right.
Lambert. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, we call it now. Now who's gonna go and do the? We call it the Highlander. Is it gonna be Adrian Paul? Is it gonna be or both? You know, you never know.
Yeah, who's gonna pass the torch? I mean, Adrian Paul still looks the same.
Oh yeah,
so they want
like ageless.
If they want to use him to pass the torch to Superman, it could totally work. Or they could just reboot the whole series.
I don't know totally how that's gonna be. We call it, you know, Highlander and fucking Superman. I'm like,
he can put. Look at him in Witcher. He can pull it off.
No. I understand that. No, I mean it's just. Like, I'm just trying to think of it, you know. I'm like, what the fuck? I'm like, that's like...
He could totally be the new Connor McCloud. Like, I'm totally okay with that.
Yeah. But...
He would look badass.
But since we're getting at the end of the whole thing, now I know we were going to say we called Where They Could Find You At. I think we cut off... I cut you off a couple of times in there. So, tell everybody yet again... where they can find you at, you know, whether it's TikTok and all that, and give it away.
So I'm going to literally age myself here. Let me go look on my name. And I think, yep, you can find me on TikTok on the Daniel Carr Pro CT, on Instagram under the same name, because I'm so original. Oh yeah, Nathaniel Carr Pro CT, and I want to say on Twitter is actually just Nathaniel Carr Pro or Nathaniel Carr CT.
On where?
On Twitter.
I think it's CT.
Yeah, it's just Nathaniel Carr CT.
Yeah.
So on, you know, you go pro for IG and for TikTok, and you can find me on Facebook. Feel free to add me on my Facebook, Nathaniel Carr. If you type in facebook.com/NathanielCarProCT, you'll find me immediately. Feel free to add me. I am Mr. Aim to Entertain. So I drop my own personal made memes. I drop my TikToks. I drop just cute anecdotes that I like to say. I drop my show informations and look for the summer tour. I'm looking to be touring in all major cities near you coming soon. Staten Island, New York. Connecticut, Massachusetts, Rhode Island. I'm in talks with Ohio, Michigan, Texas, and Tennessee, and Maryland for a summer tour. So yeah, you know,
I'll make the drive to Connecticut for you. What do you call it? So
no problem. I appreciate that.
Yeah,
I'll be dropping. I will have in store all my links to my merchandise. And a store will be dropping soon, most likely in Pro Wrestling Tees, by the beginning of May. So look out for that also.
All right, cool. So, folks, go follow him on all those platforms that he just mentioned. Go get the merch. Go and watch him on YouTube. You see, like, that thing where I just talked about where there's Karen Bam Bam, you know. And
yep.
That woman.
That is a classic match.
Yeah.
It's actually a fun story about that, and maybe next podcast I'll tell you about the Karen Bam Bam story.
All right, yeah, we do that, you know. It's like, you know, and you have an open invitation, brother. We call the, you know, come on here if you want to go and shoot shit like we always do right now, and you know, if you just feel like you got some new shit coming out, just come on over.
When the tour starts and the merch drops, I will definitely come back on and plug both. And shoot the shit more about movies, because I love movie facts. We haven't even gotten to superhero movies.
Yeah, but that'll be like the next one we go up. We'll just do one whole segment of the superhero.
A whole segment about superhero movies, because Howard the Duck is so underrated. And I will defend that crappy movie for life.
And then maybe I'll go into some kind of Guyver situation.
Oh my God, the Guyver was so good.
But we'll say that.
There's an amazing line in the second one that, yeah, but that's a whole
thing. Yeah, we call it, yeah, they should make another one, actually.
It really should. It was
That's another one for your blockbuster fucking show, I mean, your store, you know, that's underrated.
The villain of that movie has one of the best lines ever. Who's going to protect the protector? Oh, my God, it's so good.
Yeah, man, we could. It's like, I wonder if there is solenoids around. You never know.
Yeah.
But dude, thanks a lot. Folks, we're done with it right now, but I usually talk to them, talk to the guests afterwards. So, check us out. Go follow me. Actually, I forgot about my lonesome fucking self here. It's like, go follow me at Linktree, linktr.ee/TattooSquidPodcast. That's TattooSquid. And, there's links in there for different places of podcasts. There's a YouTube, there's an Instagram, there's TikTok, there's Twitch. I still have not figured that fucker out yet. And Twitter, where I'm mostly on, so you can go at podcast tattoo squid with the TattooSquid, and just drop like message or questions or whatever that floats your mind. And if you want somebody else on here, and I'll try my best, and if anybody can go, and I'm asking you this too, because if you find any some like wrestlers that want to talk on a podcast, with a squid, just run them by my way.
Will do.
So, but
Like I said, if you come down to one of the shows,
yeah.
that's a nice way to link up with some people.
Yeah, no, definitely. We call it. I'm gonna we call it do that. So, just messing me the place that's in Connecticut that you're gonna be at, and then more likely I'm gonna go and plan that out.
Yep. I know we have a
So.
couple of future shows with other companies linking up together to run.
Okay.
Some
Cool.
surprises in the future with Test of Strength Wrestling. Definitely also look up Test of Strength Wrestling on Facebook and TOS Wrestling One on Instagram and on Twitter.
Okay.
Shout out to the company.
Cool. All right, folks, take it easy. It's Sunday. You know how we do it. We gotta go home and or be home and then go to sleep early because we gotta wake up for fucking work. Pay those bills. But and also if you want to pay some bills of mine, you just go and donate to the Tattoo Squid Podcast over in the anchor part of the whole thing where you can do $2.99, $3.99, or $9.99, and you get this every month. You can hear stuff going on. So, just drop some ducats. But alrighty, so I'm gonna go talk to Nathaniel a little bit more, just a little bit, and then next episode would be coming out this weekend. This one itself would probably next month because I got a lot of stuff back piled. So, alrighty, folks, take it easy. Say goodbye, Nathaniel.
As I always say to the world, keep it nerdy, America.
There
Nerd
you
up.
go. Nerd life! No. Everybody.
Oh, son of a bitch!